And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hossick.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and normally alongside I have Charlie Hossack, but today Charlie's dealing with some family stuff, and so we have Mike Potenza, the Kingswood varsity coach, stepping in. Coach, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
it's an honor to be here.
All right. I was wondering if it was going to be the Mike and Eric show today. We were going to bounce things back for a little while.
We could have handled it,
but I'm really happy Coach is here. It's going to give us some different perspectives on things. We're going to get to some hockey, too, and kind of do what we normally do. So you're looking forward to it?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I see you came prepared.
I brought some rosters. So I don't look completely out of place.
All right. Mike and the Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation at 569 Lake, 569-5253. And they're going to need that phone number because today is trivia brought to you by Full Belly Deli, which will happen at the bottom of the hour. All right, Coach, before we get into all our stuff, I know you're – are we looking forward to the high school season?
I think we are. I've been working with some of the younger kids, and I think the freshmen coming up this year have impressed me so far. Gage LaMontagne told me yesterday he'll be back in the net for us after missing a year. Played for the Wolves last year. He'll be back this year. I'm very excited to have him back. I think he's really going to help the team, and not only with his ability to play, but it also helps in practice having that second goalie.
Well, going into the season with one goalie, it was that makes you nervous as coaches. That makes you really nervous. And having Gage as some senior leadership back, it's just going to make us a much stronger team.
Yeah, I've done a season before with just one goalie, and he went down with Sean Goggin years ago, and he got hurt. And Mike Bernier, by default, because he was a lacrosse goalie, got thrown into the net. So I was thinking if Gage didn't come back, Josh Paraskos was in the hot seat.
I think Josh Paraskos is happier than anybody that Gage is coming back. So that's great. You know, I think our team, we obviously lost some older kids, as we do every year, your son being Nick being one of them, Bailey Savage and a few other kids. But I liked some of the youth that we have coming in. There seems to be a lot of energy at the freshman level, and they're playing for you over in Laconia.
Yeah, we've got, for the young kids, is Austin Emerson, Evan Harrington, and Jackson O'Keefe. And, you know, they've been very impressive over there. Evan is not physically a very big kid, but he hasn't backed down from anybody. He plays with a lot of speed, and he's starting to play with a little bit of confidence. Jackson looks like he's a sophomore or a junior the way he's playing.
Wow.
And our first game of the year, Austin Emerson came away with 4 goals. So it's very promising.
You know, it's successful programs are the programs that can replenish. And, you know, every year, every team loses kids. And, you know, we've gone, you know, obviously we go through it every year. It's how we replenish those kids. And I like the group that's coming up. I like that core group coming up. They have a lot to learn. They have they're very inexperienced. But playing over with the Wolves, and we talk about the Wolves and Andrew Trimble's programs over there a lot. That's good high school prep type hockey, you know, to get them ready. It's physical. At times more physical than what you'd see in a high school game.
Yeah, one of the good things is two of the teams we play, one of them is the Dover High School team,
yep,
and the other one is Summersworth Coe Brown High School team, who play together as split-season teams. So the kids are getting a taste of high school hockey before their high school career starts.
That's awesome. But in about a month or so, we'll do our official high school preview show. When are we starting after Thanksgiving again? Is it that...
Normally now, it used to be the week of Thanksgiving you started, you had tryouts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you had Thursday and Friday off. Now NHIA is saying December 1st. We try to get out the week before for a couple of skills sessions.
Yeah.
But we don't officially start till the beginning of December.
Beginning of December. Jeez, the season getting shorter and shorter. I think when we were in high school, I mean, it was towards the beginning of November we were starting then.
When I was in high school, I had to choose between football and hockey because I couldn't play varsity hockey if I played football because I would have missed tryouts because football was still going on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's certainly different. They've changed those seasons around, but we are looking forward to it. The Pop, speaking of hockey, the Pop put their ice in this week.
I think Tuesday was the first practice Back Bay had there.
Right.
And we start our skill sessions. The high school runs the skill development for Back Bay, and we start this coming Monday.
Is it really? It's that soon?
Yep.
Holy mackerel. Here we go. Hockey time. Love it. But in the meantime, we still get some fall sports that we're going to deal with. This show, we're going to talk. We'll do some takes. We're going to do our regular Kingswood stuff. Playoffs are around the corner for this, you know, for a lot of the Kingswood teams, and that's exciting. I don't know if you heard, the Red Sox are still they're still alive.
That's baseball, right?
That's baseball, yep. Yes. This will be a very informative baseball show. We get some Patriots talk. Charlie did send in his, the Haas sent in his picks, so we're going to go over that because he is badly losing. I got to pull it. His picks are up on the wall up there from last week, and I don't think he did very well. I'm sure he's listening right now, but he was down two games before I even looked at him. So we'll see how that goes. But we're also going to do some Bruins preview in honor of you being here. I know we kind of jumped the gun last week. We did a little bit of Bruins preview last week because I thought they were starting last Saturday, but they're actually starting this Saturday. So we'll be doing that and some of your insight for that. So opening takes. Normally, Coach, we do our opening takes. We just vent about some different things. I couldn't decide what to vent on. I had a whole bunch of things. I'll start with the John Gruden stuff. Did you catch any of that drama that's going on in the NFL?
Not really.
So, in a nutshell, the Washington football team is being investigated for just some different, you know, social abuses, and so through some discovery, they grabbed their emails, and they came across John Gruden's emails to, at the time, was their general manager over a 10-year period, and he basically just went scorched earth on every single group that there is. There was no gray area in these emails. If you saw any of the excerpts, I mean, he really went all in, really vulgar language, degrading language, to some homophobic language, some misogynistic language, some racial, you know, insensitive language. I mean, it was scorched earth across the board. And so he had to resign. And I don't think he should ever be allowed to play again. I think this day and age, you can't put those kinds of things in writing. You can't be saying those things anyway, don't get me wrong. You can't be saying those kinds of things. But in a professional working environment, to put that stuff in writing, you're asking for it. At that point, you're asking for it.
Oh, yeah, you're asking to get beat up at that point.
you are. Now, you know, John Gruden has he has some guys, a guy on his team that is gay, too, and he still went all in with some really, really abusive language. And this is, like, you know, somebody on his team, his roster, that he's supposed to be supporting, and it's a bad look. My question is, though, is somebody else is on the other side of these emails that he's writing. Is this going to be the tip of the iceberg as far as 650,000 emails they have?
Oh, boy.
650,000 emails. And so John Gruden, I can't imagine he was doing this in complete isolation and nobody was responding to him with the same kind of language. The Washington football team has massive cultural issues. Anyway, that's why they're being investigated in the first place. Was John Gruden a scapegoat, or is there going to be more heads that roll on this? And my guess is it's going to be more heads that roll. And I have a feeling that's going to be some names that are going to really surprise us.
Now, if he didn't resign, the question is, how do you get the guys on the team to perform for you after they know you've said those things? Right? Nobody's going to want to have anything to do with it.
I don't know how. It's a great question because I don't know how you can. Urban Meyer, we talked about him last week. Urban Meyer is the coach of Jacksonville, and after the Jacksonville lost, he stayed in Cleveland. They lost to Cleveland, I think it was. They stayed in Cleveland. He stayed in Cleveland and went out to one of his restaurants that he owned. It was clubbing with some young girls.
Oh, I saw that.
And he's a married, he's all, you know, family man, all this kind of stuff. And so he came back and he canceled practices, apologized to his team and all this kind of stuff. And so your question, is his team going to listen to him? Well, when his team broke huddle in one of the practices, they say something win, you know, victory, yeah. blah, blah, blah. They yelled grind. So, I mean, right there it tells you he's got a culture problem on his team, and he's got some respect issues with his players about respecting him. And that's justifiably so at yeah. that point. You know, if you're going to be family guy, Tim Tebow, you know, all this stuff, and then you go out and do that, it's you're kind of asking for trouble.
In this age of social media, you can't hide from that.
You cannot.
Right? There's
do it.
Nothing you can do that someone is not going to see.
Especially if you're a NFL head coach who's at his restaurant that he owns at the Urban Meyer Steakhouse, and Urban Meyer's sitting there and getting lap dances from some 22-year-old. Somebody's going to take a picture of that.
Oh yeah, everybody's got a recording device on them these days.
Other thing, the ALCS, the Red Sox are playing Houston. They're kicking off tomorrow. We're going to preview the series in a little bit. But have we taken a step back and realized that these are the teams that were both teams were accused and convicted, for lack of a better word, of cheating over the past 2 years, and that they're in the ALCS? Is anybody really talking about that the way they should?
I don't believe they are. I don't hear much about it. I don't follow baseball that closely, although I will say that I did watch at least part of all three of the games from the last series.
Baseball is not as good as hockey playoffs. Baseball playoffs are not as good as hockey playoffs. But baseball playoffs at Fenway Park, when you have 38,000 people standing up for the whole game, it had almost like a European soccer feel to those games, that buzz in the background, which we haven't heard at Fenway for a while. Alex Cora was suspended last year because he was banging drums and clickers or whatever to let people know what pitch was coming. He was a integral part of the Houston cheating scandal. An integral part, like the head guy. The manager of Houston is no longer back there. I don't believe he is. I could be wrong, but I don't believe he's there. I think it's somebody else. But yet, here they are, the Red Sox and the Houston Astros are in the ALCS, and I'm not saying they don't deserve to be. I'm obviously rooting for the Red Sox. I just find it interesting that the two teams that cheated, over the last 3 years are in the ALCS.
Well, you're a much bigger baseball guy than I am, so tell me, how difficult is it to steal signs?
Well,
right? They do them right out in the open, so everyone can see them.
So that's where the question is that... and I think we had talked about this, on previous shows, is part of the game is stealing signs. That's part of the game. When the third baseman's going through his signs, you always get somebody looking at him. Hey, I got the steal sign. He's going down his arm, and so that's why the signs are become that more, complex as far as it. What Houston was doing. We don't think the Red Sox themselves weren't accused of cheating. It was just Alex Cora when he was with Houston. But what they were doing is that they were using technology to do it. So they were able to pick up the signs or the grips and the pitchers and so on, and they were relaying this back to the batters by banging on trash cans. And, I mean, the other nefarious thing is that Jose Altuve, they thought that he was carrying, he had some sort of a beeper on his chest. Because when he hit a home run in one of the, back in 17, when he hit a home run, it was like a game-winning home run, he came to the plate covering his chest because he didn't want anybody to rip off his shirt. He had like a little beeper saying what sign was coming. So, anyway, we'll get to that when we talk about the Red Sox. We're going to take a quick break. This is Mike and the Hoss. Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit. Need a chainsaw, some paint, or even a grill? Don't head down to the big box store. Stop at Bradley's Hardware in downtown Wolfboro. At Bradley's, you will find all of your hardware needs. Bradley's Hardware carries quality name brands such as Steel and Echo Power Equipment, Benjamin Moore Paints, Weber and Big Green Egg Grills, and just about anything else you could find in a hardware store. Bradley's also stocks an extensive inventory of rental equipment. Rent anything from a commercial carpet cleaner to a cement mixer.
So before you head out of town, stop at Bradley's Hardware on 22 Railroad Ave in downtown Wolfboro. They are open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 7:30 to 5. Bradley's is your local hardware choice.
After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss on WASR with special guest Coach Mike Potenza with us today, stepping in for Charlie. The Kingswood fall season's winding down, and they actually had playoffs today. Golf had their state tournament today down at Rochester Country Club, and I have a little bit of results. I was actually able to follow it live during the day to see how they did, and it's not great news for Kingswood. They didn't they didn't do very well. Out of the eight teams, they tied for seventh, I think was what it was.
But they still have a chance going forward for some individual.
No, they don't. So that's the part. So Henry Saunders was the low man for Kingswood, and he was tied to get – they have to – I forget the exact number, but I think the low 20 kids get to go to the individual, which is on Saturday. And Henry was tied, and so he went to a playoff, and he lost in the playoff for that. So Henry's a great golfer. He's we're going to hear his name in the future. But I think some of the kids had days that they wanted to have, probably not their best day. Brady Clark, though, did well. He's a sophomore who shot 86 today. I think Will Crane was around an 88. So these are some names that we're going to hear in the future.
I bet Will Dene kid do.
Will Dene laid an egg. He laid an egg today. He did not have his best day. He's ready for hockey season, obviously. Congratulations to Coach Fuller. He runs a great program down there. They do a lot of community service, especially at the club. It's as organized, and I'm part of the baseball program, part of the hockey program. I've seen the football program. I used to do the soccer program. Every single T is crossed and I is dotted when it comes to golf. It is so well organized. And I'm not saying any of the other ones are not well organized. But if you know Coach Fuller, you know that everything is organized down to the last minute.
But it seems like his numbers are growing. Like, I've been up the golf course a couple times when they're practicing, and it seems like there's an awful lot of kids up there, which is a good sign for your program if you get kids wanting to join.
It is. Jeremy pushed a couple years ago to have this quote-unquote development team. And so the club restricts how many spaces they'll offer up for the Kingswood golf team because they take up tee times and so on. And so Jeremy did a lot of work getting what's called the development team in. So basically, varsity has 12 players, and then development team, which covers middle school up until maybe freshman year of high school, kids can make that team. And so they don't play matches, but they practice 2-3 days a week. And it's exposing the kids to golf, getting them ready so that when they do get to high school, they've made decisions if they want to continue playing or not. The thing with golf, and similar to other sports, but with golf, is you got to play. You got to play, and the golf season is so short. It starts in the middle of August, and for the kids that weren't playing in the state tournament, it ended 2 weeks ago. And so that's not a lot of time. You've played plenty of golf in your life. You know that the less you play, the
I'm at the point now where I'm happy if I can find my ball.
That's it. I can't bring enough balls when I go play these days. So shout out to Jeremy Fuller and his coaching staff, and the whole Kingswood golf team. They did a nice job, and the seniors that are moving on, Henry, notably Mikey Palmer, I think, is a senior that's moving on. Tyler Sprintz is moving on. Max Rourke is moving on. These guys are seniors, and I know I'm going to be forgetting somebody. I hope I'm not. Great job this year, and like I said, congratulations to Jeremy. Girls soccer, the girls beat their rival Kennett last Saturday to pick up their second win of the season. They have three games left remaining, and it begins tonight at Kennett. Overall, the girls soccer team significantly improved from last year under first-year head coach Shane Flood. So we've seen the growth of the girls soccer team over the past couple of years. There's been some continuity in that program, And Coach Fludge is picking up where, you know, Coach Kelly left off. Boys soccer, four-game win streak came to an end at Co-Brown on Tuesday. Co-Brown is a great soccer team. The Knights are fighting for a playoff spot and still have four games remaining in the regular season. Tomorrow night, the boys host rival Kennett at 7 p.m. under the lights. So if you want to go see a decent soccer game or the rival game with Kennett, Kingswood, that's the first time they're playing them this year, but I think that they're ahead of them in the standings, so it might be a good night for Kingswood.
And that's one program that seems to be getting a little stronger every year.
Yep, yep. They get some athletes right now. They get some athletes playing there, and that team seems to be founded in their defense. Very tough to score in that group. They get some good goaltending, and I know that their back line is very strong, and now they're getting some goal scoring, so they're doing a nice job over there. Field hockey. We had some news on field hockey. They're still having a great season. Tuesday they played to a 1-1 tie with Portsmouth. I don't think that's true. I think they lost to Portsmouth 5-3, so the Hawks got that one wrong. But they lost to Portsmouth 5-3 the other night, and they're going to Goffstown on tomorrow night. They're going to Goffstown, and I think that's the end of their season. They look like they're going to be hosting a playoff game on Tuesday, and Mike and the Hoss is going to have that game. We believe it's going to be Tuesday night. We don't know that for sure. Mr. House, the athletic director at Kingswood, and Coach Riley are still working that out. We're hoping it's under the lights, but either way, WASR and Mike and the Hoss are going to be there broadcasting that game on Tuesday. Volleyball. The Kingswood volleyball team has won five games in a row and are positioning themselves to make a playoff run. That's after a rough start this year. Last night, they beat rival Kennett 3-0. The team continues to improve and has two matches remaining in the regular season. They travel to Sauhegan tomorrow evening. And so good luck to the girls' volleyball team. The cross-country, the boys' girls' cross-country team travel to Co-Brown Academy on Saturday for their final regular season meet. And if you know anything about cross-country, those Co-Brown kids can run. They can run. They every year in the States, it's, you know, first place Co-Brown, second place Co-Brown, third place Oyster River, fourth place Co-Brown. It's just it's really crazy. Football team last Friday, if anybody was able to get there. Did you get to the football game last Friday?
I did watch the game last Friday.
Tough one against St. Thomas. And, you know, the Knights have certainly been up against it for a lot of games this year. St. Thomas is a good team. Their only loss is to Timberland. And Timberland right now is the class of all Division II. Timberland beat Plymouth, and so a loss early in the year to Timberland says that you're still pretty good. The Knights had 19 players dressed for that varsity game. I'm guessing that St. Thomas was probably well into the 40s dressed for that game.
I don't think they had that many. They did definitely have more than Kingswood did, and that's what you notice is there's not a lot of bodies on the sidelines. But what I will say, even though they got beaten pretty handily, what I will say about the game was it seems like they do have a lot of young talent there.
Yep.
That can be developed. I think Coach Landry's just got to find a way to get some more bodies and some bigger bodies. And, you know, I go watch those games every year, and I always watch, full stadium, and I can't imagine the pandemonium that will go on at that school when that program starts to have some success.
No, I agree. I wasn't able to do the game. Coach Skelly stepped in for me, and I did pick up the last few minutes of it. And Chip had said that the one thing that he sees is that he doesn't see the kids hanging their heads. He says they're getting off the field. And when you're down 63-0, there's a lot of reason to hang your heads. But Coach Landry still has them, like you just said, still has them playing hard, still has them going in there doing their absolute best. We've knocked St. Thomas before, just private school.
You mean because they can recruit and still play in D2?
Yes. And so
I didn't know anything about that.
No, I know. And, I mean, we have expressed our feelings about them playing a Division II team, Division III if you're Derryfield. And it's not right. I don't know, understand why the NHIA lets this happen. There's enough teams between Pinkerton and Derryfield and Brady and Bishop Girton and Trinity and, the list keeps going, that they could do their own their own little league, or at the very least have them play D1 when they're going up against schools with 3,000 kids.
Yeah, I know at least when it comes to hockey, all those schools you just mentioned that are small schools, we'll say Bishop Girton's and the Trinity's, they all petition all the way up to Division I.
Right.
Because they're, and I went to Trinity, I know how it works, they're allowed to recruit. Right. We had kids at a Manchester school. I lived outside the school district. I went there. We had a kid from Dover. So, I mean, they're bringing in kids from all over the place. They should be forced to play up.
At some point we got to get somebody from the NHIA to explain how how and why a St. Thomas is allowed to recruit. I mean, if you go in the parking lot of a St. Thomas game, it's half of it's Massachusetts and Maine plates. And how they're allowed to recruit and play D2 teams. And when they're strong, which they obviously have a good football team, we've seen them have good hockey teams, and we had very strong hockey teams those years, and we took them to the end. But, you know, we were running out of guys. They were running out three, four lines of deep teams. We were running out a line and a half, and our kids hung with them. But eventually, it's just there's only so much you can do. Yeah. So somebody's going to have to step up and say something that enough's enough, or at least explain to us why that's the case. Anyway, the football team, they're fine. They're going to go to Hillsborough Deering on Saturday. That's a team that they should be able to compete with. But then their last home game is next Friday against Timberland, and that is not a team that they're going to compete with. It's straight up, that's not a team that they're going to compete with. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say we should give up. I'm not saying that, but...
I don't think those kids would. Like you said, they compete hard the whole game, and the majority of those kids are playing both sides of the ball. So by the end of the game, by the end of the game, they're exhausted, but they're still giving you everything they got, and they're still working on it.
It's a tough call, and I know the administration over at Kingswood, you know, is certainly looking at some things. But right now, we have 19 kids playing against a Timberlake team is all likely going to win the D2 state championship. Who could probably beat three-fourths of the D1 teams. Who's big, who's powerful. And I don't want to see kids getting hurt because the majority of the kids that we're trotting out there are freshmen and sophomores. And they're going to go up against a 280-pound Timberland kid that's recruited to a D1 school. That just, for player safety, I just don't know how far we should go with that. At some point, and I think 63-0, it's hard to recover from that. I know Coach Landry's going to do his absolute best. The kids are still thinking positive. They're still coming to these games. They're still practicing, and I applaud him and his team for that. But that's a daunting task to go up against a team like that.
Yeah, especially when you know it's coming. You've seen them all season long. And the kids, I know it from hockey, the kids follow this stuff online. They go to the NHIA website. They see what the scores are. They see who they're beating, how badly they're beating them. And then they got to try to mentally prepare to go out and play against that.
Right, and what plays are going to work. All right, we're going to take our break a little early. We'll get to some Red Sox and Patriots and Bruins when we come back. Mike and Haas.
Lucas Roasting Company, which is located on King Street in beautiful Back Bay, Wolfboro. They serve delicious coffee, tea, espresso, and lattes. And you know what, Mike? They were voted the best coffee in New Hampshire by WMUR. They even roast their own coffee inside their cafe. Lucas Roasting offers over 40 different single origins and blends of coffee to choose from. My favorite is the Italian roast. It's really dark and has great, great flavor. After 13 years in the coffee industry, Lucas Roasting Company can handle personal and large business orders. Stop by their cafe on King Street in Wolfboro, or order online to have delicious coffee shipped right to your door. The cafe is open Wednesday and Thursday, 7 to 5, and Friday and Saturday, 7 to 3. Or go ahead and visit lucasroasting.com anytime.
And please make sure to tell them that Mike and the Haas sent you. Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas, 569-5253. One of our fellow coaches, Coach Tatro, wanted to jump in on the conversation. He's texted us, 2003 NHIA Ice Hockey Player of the Year was from Maine, and he played at St. Thomas. So now we're taking hardware away from New Hampshire kids, too.
What does the NH stand for in NHIA?
Apparently not the New Hampshire thing. So anyway, all right, it's trivia time, brought to you by the Full Belly Deli. And if you call in, and we'll go with the directions in a second, you're going to get a free lunch at the Full Belly Deli. And then for those of you that I don't know if he's if Dougie's announced this, but they're going to be taking over at Bayside. I hope he's announced it. If he didn't, I just did. So, but anyway, so if you call in, you're going to get a lunch at the Full Belly Deli. And this week, the question is going to go to Coach Potenza. He brought in his own trivia question. And so if you know the answer, you call in 569-5253 and give us the answer. And if it's right, we'll kick you over to Eric, the station manager. And Eric will take down your information. And then when you go down to the Full Belly Deli, your name will be waiting for you. And a free lunch is waiting for you. You decide what you want. Okay? All right, Coach, what question do you have?
For the Boston Bruins, who holds the record for most assists in a season, and if you can tell us who it is, and if you can tell us how many, I would argue that you should get a second lunch.
So you hear that. Who holds the most assists in a season for the Boston Bruins? And I got this wrong. You asked me, and I got it wrong. I was actually way off in the amount, too. So tells you what I know.
Well, your guess of player was the same as mine would have been originally.
Yeah, I mean... He was, without giving away too much of an information, although I did a multiple choice question last week, and we actually got that one that was answered right. So, again, who holds the most assists in a season for the Boston Bruins, 569-5253, if you know. All right, let's go Red Sox right now, because I don't want, our Red Sox are in the ALCS. I don't know if people realize that, and we haven't had a show since last Monday, and they kicked off. It was quite the week for the Red Sox, not this past Monday, the Monday before. So in that time period, no, I'm sorry, we had a show Thursday. We had a show Thursday. So we were around for the wild card game, and then the Tampa series started on Thursday. They played Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday, Monday, and they beat Tampa in four. So game one was the bad game. That was Thursday night. The Sox lost 5-0, and I think people were rightfully thinking that this is going to be a sweep in three.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about baseball, but I watched part of that game, and I thought they were done after that.
Yeah, I think that, and Tampa thought that they were in shape. They ordered the champagne to be delivered to Boston. They thought it was going to be a sweep. They were eating the popcorn. You saw all those little things going on, that they were eating popcorn during the game, kind of rubbing things in. And then they get to Friday, and the first inning, Chris Sale gives up a grand slam, gives up 5 runs in the first inning. The Sox are down 5-2, I think it was. And Tanner Houck came in and shut the door down on Tampa. And the Sox bats came alive, ended up scoring 14 runs. And the next thing you know, we're back in Boston. Huge win for the Red Sox. I think it was 14 runs. And one of the things that Charlie and I talk about a lot is that the Red Sox get streaky. They get streaky. They get streaky good, but they also get streaky bad. And if you catch them on a streaky good, they're tough to beat. And so then they went to Game 3. And did you watch Game 3?
Some of it, yes. My problem with baseball is the games seem to take so long.
Well, this game did. This was almost equivalent to two games. It went 13 innings. And this was Sunday night, which was probably one of the better days of sports in Boston. I was down on it. I said, I played golf in the morning, and I was a little worried that I was going to get to Sunday night and both the Patriots and the Red Sox were going to lose, and it was going to be one of those days. And after the first hour and a half, I was thinking it was a pretty bad, because the Patriots did not look good for the first hour and a half. They ended up winning. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It was one of the best baseball games that I'd seen in a long time. That was a great environment, great atmosphere at Fenway. Like I said, I mentioned earlier that 38,000 people standing up for 13 innings. Pretty cool. I had put down that was the Vasquez home run, the walk-off home run that whatever Nick Pivetta, 5 scoreless innings in extras, just a ballsy effort, just an absolute ballsy. gritting his teeth on the mound. I mean, I don't know if you saw that any of the extra innings. Every time he got through an inning, he was just pumping his fist, and the whole place was going crazy. And then obviously Vasquez got the home run. Kiki Hernandez was 7-for-7 with just at one point he was going to set the major league record for consecutive hits. It's just a good night for Boston. And I think when they won that game, I think that, wow, I think New England itself realized they could actually do this. And so then they get to Monday. And Erod, both teams are basically out of pitching at this point. Erod's the one who started in game one, and he lasted, in, I think, an inning and a third or something like that. He didn't last very long. Worried about how Erod comes in. He gets into the sixth inning, which was incredible. Devers hits a home run. Whitlock comes in. So the Sox are up 5-0. Tampa comes back, ties it 5-5. You're like, uh-oh, this is a problem. Whitlock inherits a runner on second, nobody out in the eighth inning, and strands him, which is absolutely incredible. And then the Red Sox go and they play small ball. You know what small ball is?
I do not.
Small ball is when you bunt guys over advanced runners. And so Vasquez got to hit the lead off the ninth, and Christian Arroyo bunted, beautiful bunt, sacrifice bunt. Coach Skelly would be very proud. Advances the runner to second. And then the Sox got lucky. Travis Shaw hit a dribbler down third baseline, which allowed Arroyo to get to third base. And then Shaw was safe at first. And then the next thing you know, Kiki Hernandez, which surprised that they did not walk. And I would love to hear Coach Skelly's take on that one, because I thought the play was to walk Hernandez, set up the double play. But they decided to pitch to him. And he hits a fly ball to the outfield, and that's the end of the game. So a great series. Tampa is considered the best team in the American League. I didn't think the Red Sox matched up very well against Tampa. They did it. And you said you don't follow much baseball. I know you follow a little bit of Red Sox. Is this a team of destiny?
You remember, I can't tell you what year it was, but it was the bunch of idiots, right?
That's 04.
Yeah,
04.
And they just seemed to keep going as well.
So what they did when they were down 3-0, they passed around a shot of Jack Daniels. I don't know if you're
I did not know that.
In the locker room before game four, Kevin Millar had a big jug of Jack Daniels, and he poured a shot, and everybody took a shot before they went out on the field.
Well, that's something we'll have to try at our next coaches meeting.
I don't know if I can handle that again. So they got the Houston Astros coming up. Houston disposed of the Chicago White Sox. Houston's good. They're very good. They're the best hitter in the American League, bats seventh for them. They're a legitimate powerhouse. They're not as strong as they were the past couple of years because they lost Springer. They lost a few other guys. But they're still very good. The Sox beat them the last time they faced them in the playoffs, which was 2018 when they went on to win the World Series. Do you think the one take, and I had this in the opening take, but I never said it. When Houston won the playoffs the other night, when they beat Chicago, they're fist bumped and stuff like that, but they were all business. Let's head to the locker room. The Red Sox over a 7-day period had four celebrations where the champagne was being passed around, and between walk-offs, between clinching on Sunday to get into the playoffs, the AL wild card, the game on Sunday, and then winning the series on Monday, they celebrated like it was the World Series every single time.
To me, that could work in their favor, right? You're a little looser going into the game. You're gripping the bat so tight. Maybe you're getting a little lucky, getting some hits because you're not so tense. You're not so worked up. You go into a game thinking it's all business and you're too focused like that, and then something doesn't go your way and you can get derailed pretty quick.
That's a good take. I appreciate that. But isn't there some room for saying, act like you expect to be there, act like you've done this before?
Isn't that what they did the last time they were there? They partied like that, right?
They did. They did. You're right. They have. This is actually the first time the Red Sox have gone through and played the wild card game and gotten through. They've been a wild card team before, but before they didn't have this wild card play-in game. So this is the first time that they had to do that. It just seems that when you celebrate so much over a short period of time, when you celebrate Sunday, you celebrate Tuesday, you celebrate Saturday, Sunday rather, and then you celebrate Monday, that's a lot of celebrations.
That could be a little excessive. I think my point is that you want to go in there a little loose. You don't I'm not a big fan of trying to put that much pressure on you, especially if you're already in a high pressure situation. You know, you need to be able to remove yourself from that a little bit and loosen up. And I think maybe 4 days of partying was a little too much, but I'm not opposed to the idea of what it creates and that looseness and that flow.
Well, we're going to see with Houston. I mean, they're the underdogs. They're, you know, by a lot, actually, you know, by a lot. Even though the Red Sox were in first place until the end of July, they were in first place in the East. They had the best record in the American League for portions of July anyway. But they're still the underdogs. And I just don't think the fans, I don't think the baseball community believes in them. I don't know. You just look out there and you say, Alex Verdugo? Alex Verdugo replaced Mookie Betts. You're saying that he's, you know, going to do this? Or Christian Vasquez or Tanner Houck and just going down the line. Chris Sale's coming off Tommy John. How valuable is he going to be? But they keep winning.
So it's the Bill Belichick philosophy, right? Next man up.
Next man up, and that's what they're doing. Interesting, though, and Charlie and I did this last time, is that if you were to compare the Red Sox lineup, actually maybe it was me and Sam did this, but if you were to compare the Red Sox opening day lineup to the lineup that they had in the playoffs, there was only one guy different. It was Marwin Gonzalez, who's no longer with the team. It was basically the same exact lineup that they started the year that they ended the year, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. And I think when you think about how the Red Sox were built this year, that there was no chance that was going to end up happening. No chance. Hey, real quickly, let's do the trivia question again. Do you want to read it?
Sure. For the Boston Bruins, who holds the record for the most assists in a season? We're looking for the player and bonus points if you can give me the number.
All right, Bruins preview since you're here. I think the news, one of the big pieces of news that came out, and we only got a couple minutes, so we might have to pick it up on the other end too, is that the Bruins are welcoming back Tuukka Rask and David Krejci if they want to come back, that the door is open for them this year. That's huge.
It is. Rask is a good goalie, but I think that Swayman is going to fill his shoes. I think if he does come back and plays for a little bit, it's only going to help the Bruins to have a real solid 1-2 back like in 2011 when they won the Cup, when they had Tuukka and Tim Thomas. You know, either one of those guys could have stepped into the net. And I think, you know, Swayman was pretty impressive last year, and I think he's going to pick up right where he left off this year.
If you could only have one of them back, Rask or Krejci, which one would you take back?
Krejci.
All right, good answer. Is Coyle enough to fill Krejci's spot?
I think he's going to take advantage of the opportunity he's been given this year. You know, we were talking earlier, I told you I think he's a little bit underrated, and I think he's going to take full advantage of the opportunity to show what he can do this year.
Do you think Swayman's enough?
I do. You've seen it with a bunch of young goalies in the league who've come in and done really good things. You know, look at Matt Murray, right? Back-to-back Stanley Cups. Young kid, they don't think the same way some of the older guys do. Things roll off them a little easier. I can remember back in the days when Tuukka was a little younger where if he gave up a goal, he might just smash his stick over the crossbar. These kids these days, they play a positional game, much like Patrick Waugh used to do, where he just put himself in a position to get hit with a puck.
Yep.
They're smarter, they're bigger, they're faster. I think he's going to be just fine.
Is Swayman bigger than Rask?
I believe he is.
Okay. McAvoy, some talk about big extension coming. Is he... So let's say $9 million a year, that seems to be the going rate for those top defenders, 8-9 years. Is he worth it?
I think he is. I don't know if they'll offer him that, and I don't think they would have to offer him that to keep him. I think he wants to be in Boston. You know, from watching him play, he's an unbelievable skater. I think in one or two more years, he's going to be even better than he is now.
And 25 years old now, so he's, you know.
But he's just getting better every year. You know, look at Marshawn.
Yeah.
Right? Marshawn keeps getting better.
Yeah. Real quick, Coach, what's the prediction for the Bruins this year?
I think if they draw Tampa in the first round, they're going to struggle, but I think they can get by them. I watched that game the other night, and Tampa did not look good, and Pittsburgh did.
Well, it's early. I got them bowing out in the second round. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Mike and the Hoss.
Carroll County Oil is independently owned and operated. Danny and Mike have been serving the Lakes region for over 20 years. Carroll County Oil offers prompt, courteous service with competitive rates. They offer automatic, will call, pre-buy, and budget programs designed to fit your needs. If your oil burner needs service, give Carroll County Oil a call, and they will contact a qualified technician 24 hours a day. At Carroll County Oil, you are a name, not a number. So, when your knees are knocking, Fear no more. Give Carroll County Oil a call, and they'll be at your door. 539-8332.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years' experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or Verani.com. When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey, Charlie, do you know about the Thanksgiving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you. If you're involved in an automobile accident and need your vehicle repaired by experts, call Weston Auto Body in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. Weston Auto Body is a family-run business, and they are the oldest auto body shop continuously operating in the United States. Weston Auto will work with your insurance company and the paperwork associated with your claim. Hey, Mike, did you know that Weston Auto does more than just body work? They do alignments, oil changes, brakes, exhaust systems, shocks, struts, state inspections, batteries, tires, and many other services. Give them a call at 603-569-4400, and don't forget to tell them that Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Welcome back, 569-5253, especially if you want to get in on our trivia question. Our question was, who holds the Bruins record for the most assists in a season? And I think I'm going to give a hint on this. It is not a forward. You never know. Somebody's out there on the edge. They're debating, and they don't want to waste a phone call. So I mean, it is not a forward. I guessed a forward. I had guessed Adam Oates, and he was not the answer. So 569-5253 for a free lunch at Full Belly Deli if you get the question right. So in that awesome Sunday of sports, the Patriots played, and they won, kinda. It was, I mean, that's basically how everybody feels. They lost to Tampa the other day, and they felt like, oh, that's a win. And then they beat Houston on Sunday, and that's kind of a loss because they beat them on a last second field goal. Have you been staying up with the Patriots at all?
I have. I didn't watch last weekend's game, but I listened to it on the radio.
Okay.
And I watched the game the week before. Generally, I don't watch a lot of sports until playoffs roll around.
Yeah.
And then I start watching.
Yeah, and I would agree with that for me, too, except for football. I like kicking back on a Sunday and watch. And I do a lot of fantasy, so that's certainly part of it. And my fantasy is I probably should start doing a lot less fantasy because I'm giving away money right now. But anyway, they beat Houston. You know, Belichick will tell you that any win's a good win. Brady will tell you that it's really hard to win in the NFL. And I think we have to accept the fact that this is not your Brady Patriots. This is not a team that's going to blow out other teams. But my general feeling is that there's some apprehension with the success of this team because they look bad. They just look bad. The defense, which they put a lot of money into, they put $80 million into the defense on top of the money that they already had in there, was getting run on. They were getting passed on by a rookie quarterback, and it just wasn't a good scene. But Houston gets paid also. They go out and practice also. Those are NFL players that are on the other side, you know, that were draft picks and so on. So, I don't know. And then also, you could argue that the Patriots were coming off a very emotional week with the Brady stuff. You're coming back in that big game that they played on Sunday night, and maybe there was a little letdown. And maybe if you take away the first half of that Houston game and you just focus on the second half, the Patriots actually look pretty good. So what's your thoughts on Mac Jones? Have you been able to catch any of that?
I've been pretty impressed. I think he's going to be just fine in there.
Yeah,
I think you give him this year and maybe part of next year, and he's really going to start to show what he can do. And it was pretty impressive to watch him play against the Bucs.
I will go a step further. I think if you gave him weapons this year, if you gave him actual weapons this year, that he could play right now. And
I don't think that he can't play. I just think it's, as with all things sports related, a lot of it comes with the confidence that you have in yourself. And
yep.
I think every week he's probably getting a little more confidence. And I think he once he gets that under his belt, he's going to be pretty dangerous.
I do like he's really hard on himself. I like that. I like that because, you know, they asked him. I mean, his numbers are he's completing 70% of his passes. He was 200 and something yards the other time. I mean, he's not that 350-yard passer yet, but I think that has a lot more to do with the weapons and the offense that they're running than it does his ability. But they said, yeah, you know, good game, blah blah blah. And he's like, yeah, I don't think I played very well. You know, he's tough on himself, which is good. I like his leadership. Some of the things that he does. You heard the story about during practice. This was during spring training, but preseason, training camp rather. And the offensive line did something stupid, and so Belichick sent him for a lap, and Mac Jones joined him. You know, so there's some little leadership stuff there that's there. I think he knows how to lead. I think he knows how to be part of a big program coming from Alabama. He just needs weapons. I think with weapons, you don't see many rookie quarterbacks going to their third and fourth read in their fifth game. He's able to do that. So he's processing what's happening in front of him very quickly compared to, you know, some of the other young rookies that we see. And I think that's why we're seeing the success that we have with him. But the problem is he has to go to his third and fourth read.
Well, I think you could almost make a comparison to Brady there with that, with his ability to stand in the pocket and look around.
Yep, exactly. And that's what the Patriots were kind of looking for, that kind of a quarterback. At least they were. And now there's some talk that there might be interested in Deshaun Watson, which is a whole other show that we'll do. But anyway, I think Mac's good. And I think Mac could be great. If Mac was in Tampa throwing to Mike Evans and Godwin and Brown and all those guys, Mac would have great numbers too. But when you're throwing to Aguilar and Bourne and, you know, the tight ends are starting to play a little bit better, and your running backs can't hold on to the ball, they fumble the ball every time they get it. You know, there's some issues there on offense. But I think Mac is good. Ball control is an issue. The Patriots have five lost fumbles in their first five games. I don't know if you know that. That's not good numbers.
No.
Win is a win. Jamie Collins played three snaps, had a sack in those three snaps, looked faster than everybody else in the field when he went in there. They just picked him back up from Detroit. This is his third stint with the Red Sox, with the Patriots. They need him to be an every down back. One of the knocks on the Patriots defense right now is they look slow, especially at linebacker. Jamie Collins is not slow. They need him in there. I hope he, you know, sees some time this week. They have Dallas coming this week. We're going to preview that game in a second. The secondary looks awful. They traded Gilmore. They have a lot of work to do in the secondary. J.C. Jackson does not look like he's ready for prime time. I think J.C. Jackson's is your classic, a great second cornerback when another guy is taking away the toughest guy. But he wasn't there. The O-line was patchwork. They only had one starting offensive lineman, David Andrews, and they did pretty well. Mac Jones got hit fewer times in this game than in any other games when they had all their starters in there. So I think that's pretty good. And then lastly, the coaching piece. I don't have a problem with Belichick. I have a problem with Belichick's kids. He seems to be letting his kids make a lot of calls. And I'm just wondering, I don't have any factual knowledge about this. This is just me, you know, guessing out there, that he's prepping his kids for a future in coaching. And so he's giving them a lot more responsibility than maybe they're ready for. And I think that's why we're seeing 10 guys on the field, 12 guys on the field, guys running around, you know, on the wrong assignment. Because they're just defense. You don't see that with the offense. You're seeing that with the defense. So that's my
take on that. You think he's maybe getting them ready so he can walk away?
Yes. Or getting them enough experience so that they have their own reputation. I mean, could he be leaving them with the Patriots? He could be. But I think he's letting them get seasoned. Maybe possibly, I hate to say it, but maybe to a point where he's sacrificing his own season. I mean, I hate to say it, but it just seems that there's things that we're seeing on the Patriots defense that we would have never seen before. And it's missed assignments. It's, you know, not running out on the field in time. The tackling's the tackling. I think that's fine. But it's organizational. That would come from a coaching piece, not from a player's effort or something like that. And, again, I don't know. I'm just saying that I'm trying to put my finger on why this defense looks the way it does. And I see Steve Belichick with his friggin' mullet there at the, you know, on the sideline. And I'm like, does that guy really, I mean, is he really calling the defense right now? Because it seemed like he was calling the defense in the Tampa game. And, you know, he's gritting on the sidelines. And I don't know. I don't know. So, anyway. All right, we got to do picks real quick. We're going to be we're almost done here. So, if Charlie's listening, he lost another one to me last week. So, he's down three games.
And Charlie, if you are listening, the seat's pretty comfortable.
So, the five games, I'm going to let you get into this, Coach, too. The five games that we have. So, the first game is the Los Angeles Chargers at the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore won big last week. Well, they big comeback win last week. And the Chargers, God, I don't have it in front of me. I think the Chargers lost last week. Not positive, though. No, the Chargers won. They beat Cleveland in that controversial ending game. So we got the Chargers at Baltimore. What do you think?
I'm thinking Baltimore.
You're thinking Baltimore?
Yeah.
According to this, Charlie picked the Rams. I got to double check to make sure that which game this is. Because I thought it was the Chargers game. Los Angeles, that's the Chargers, Charlie. So I'm going to say it's the Chargers. So he's going to pick the Chargers. All right, so you're picking Baltimore?
I am.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore also. So Charlie's got and you get Baltimore. All right, next game, Arizona at Cleveland. Arizona's undefeated. They're the lone undefeated team that we have in the NFL. Cleveland is coming off a very controversial loss last week at the Chargers. What do you think?
Although I'd like to go with Cleveland, I don't think I can.
You don't think you can?
I don't think I can. I'd love to see him have a great year, but I don't think they got it in him this week.
All right, so you got Arizona. Charlie also has Arizona. I'm going Cleveland and Baker Mayfield. They are angry after that last loss last week. They're at home. Arizona is not going undefeated. And if Charlie's listening, he knows that I do this. At some point, this team's got to lose, and I think this is a very losable game for them. Vegas in the Gruden, actually the Gruden-less Vegas team is going to Denver. Denver's lost two in a row. They started out 3-0. Vegas, I want to say, is 3-2 right now. Turmoil. Do you think that John Gruden stuff is going to affect that team positively or negatively?
I think they're still a little up in the air right now. I think you got to go with Denver on that one.
Yeah, I like Denver on that one. Charlie's got Denver also, so we're going to go Denver across the board. I think Denver's a little bit better than they have played the past couple weeks. I don't think they're an undefeated team or a 3-0 team the way it started. They're going to be somewhere in the middle. Seattle at Pittsburgh. Charlie's got the Steelers, and he's not happy about it. He hates picking the Steelers. And Seattle does not have Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is hurt. He blew up his finger.
I think I'm going to go with the Steelers as well.
You're going to go with the Steelers as well? I'm going to give Charlie a shot here. I'm going to go Seattle on this one.
Mean Joe Green's going to make a comeback?
Well, I just – Geno Smith looked pretty good when he stepped in for Russell Wilson last week. And our last game, Dallas at New England. Tough game for New England. They're 0-3 at home. Dallas is a – they got weapons all over the place. They got a decent defense. I think the coach is a moron, though. So what do you think?
I don't think the Patriots can pull it out this week.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them do it. I think that it would be a huge game for them to win, but I just don't think they got it in them.
I'm not rooting against the Patriots. I think this is going to be their the biggest moment that they have. All right. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Thanks to Faymore, Berkshire Hathaway, Seco Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic, Skelly's Market, Lucas Roasting Company, Duran Independent Insurance, Carroll County Oil, Downtown Grill and Cafe, Weston Auto Body, Linda's Flowers, Bradley's Hardware, JCN Shuttle, and the Full Belly Deli. What was the answer to our trivia question, Coach?
Bobby Orr, 102.
102 assists. Coach, thank you for stepping in for Charlie today.
No, I had a great time. Thanks for having
really
me.
Really appreciate it. It was going to be me and Eric just talking, and I know he's dying to hit the button, so we're done. So thank you. We'll be back on Monday next week. This is Mike and the Haas.